right.
This is a very fragrant box.
It is. This box smells so good. It's very savory too. I think we got some people who are gonna love this. It's so hard because I love a sweet box and I love a savory box, but then I want to go back to the sweet box and I love it. I love it. I love it. Hello and welcome to Curdcast, the podcast for people who like to eat cheese. I'm your host, Jen Mason, and with me today is my favorite host ever, and I posted this with my husband, Julie Fafan Balzer. Hello, Julie.
I'm very sorry, Matt Mason, wherever you are, I apologize.
For those of you who have not been lucky enough to witness a Matt Mason, Matt's great, but he gets this weird voice. He talks like this all of a sudden, and it freaks me out. So I don't invite him on the podcast often, only when Julie can't make it, which hasn't been very often because she likes cheese. And for those of you who are new, because we have lots of new people because we always do. And this is our podcast for Curdbox Flex. If you're listening in because you get Curdbox, this is our nut-free, gluten-free, vegetarian box for all of our friends out there who like really good food but are tired of always having to not eat everything because it's not special for you. So this is special for you. This is the cheese box for everybody else. And if you want to eat along with us, you can go to curdbox.com. If you want the flex, click on the Curdbox Flex and order that one. It comes once a month and you can buy it in 3 or 6 month increments. If you want gluten, meat, and nuts at some point or a time, you can get our regular Curdbox. And what we do, Julie and I eat through the box. It's a very hard job, but somebody's got to do it. But we discuss things. Julie asks questions. I answer the questions. And we get to eat food for a living. Well, me for a living. So
me Julie, for a hobby.
You for a hobby. It is the best hobby. So this is a very flavorful box. You might have heard Julie and I talking about this from the beginning. This box is themed Moo Ba Ma. So this is cow, goat, and sheep cheese. And we tried to find like interesting expressions of those milk types. And we're gonna start with like one of the favorite cheese types, which is an aged Gouda, which is the Euphoria. And I just realized I moved my notes here. I'm gonna put my notes up on my other screen so I don't get this wrong. So an aged Gouda is really amazing because it gets these little crystals. You might see like the little white dots in yours. I'm going to see if we could show that. Those are tyrosine crystals. Those happen when we age cheese. This is a sheep's milk cheese, and it's aged about 10 months, or it's 10 months old. So it was made and then aged. And a Gouda that's aged has a sort of caramely, butterscotchy notes. It's sort of,
So good. It's interesting. It smells like a Parmesan or something like that. But then you put it in your mouth and it's salty and rich and it's more melty than like if I'm expecting that kind of crumbly Parmesan texture. Although when I was cutting it, it did somewhat stay in its little shapes, but it's got jagged edges instead of smooth.
Yeah. And it's definitely a firmer cheese than our other two cheeses today. But this is made by Cheeseland. It's like I said, 10 months old, and this is sheep's milk. So you could do the same thing with cow's milk. It's gonna be a little less salty. Now, it's a little saltier in general because it's an aged cheese. So if you can imagine like when you're cooking a sauce over the stove and you cook it down, like maybe a broth, because you're gonna cook it down and make a thick like sauce for it, it gets saltier because all the water goes out and there's less water for the salt to be in. Same thing with the cheese. So it's saltier because it's aged, and it's saltier because it's sheep's milk. It gets that nutty, butterscotchy flavor because it's aged, and what they put in it to make it, the cultures they put in it to make it Gouda, are magic and make this taste like cheese. This is kind of the sweet part of your plate. So beautiful sort of cheese. I love this on both a savory board and a sweet sort of cheese board. I'm a sucker for both.
Because it is so salty, I can see that it would be really great with something really sweet, because it would be able to hold its own and not mm-hmm. disappear under the weight of something really sweet.
Yeah. And if you like salty and sweet, like chocolate and salt kind of thing, a chocolate, pairing anything with chocolate, even like a chocolate covered popcorn with this would be really fun. So that's our sheep. That's
and
our,
if you don't our, like our salty boss. And sweet, there's something wrong with you.
I know. I people ask, are you a salty or sweet? I just say yes.
I'm right? Both. I'm 100%.
So we
life
have
is
a fun
too short for one flavor.
This is funny because this box is like Euphoria and then Smoke and Goat. So the first two actually have the type of animal in its name. So the Smoke and Goat.
Oh, smells nice. So good.
Wow. Always delights me every time I have it. Mm-mm. This is just a 15-day-old cheese. And it's smoked for a week over beechwood. This comes to us from the Canary Islands in Spain. It's imported by Matica. And it's nice because smoked cheese can either be like a woo, two thumbs up, or for me, a six thumbs down. This very much feels like it was just hanging out near somebody who had a fireplace going. It doesn't feel like somebody doused it with a...
like smoke flavor, which sometimes, yeah, I feel like it has like smoke flavor as opposed to actually being smoked. And the other thing that's so nice about this is I keep looking for like the goatiness of it, for lack of a better way of putting it, right?
Yeah.
Where's the funk? And yet, and mostly what I get is smoke. And it's at that perfect kind of moment where it's a firm enough cheese you can hold as opposed to like a spreadable goat cheese, but it's still so soft and lovely.
Yeah. And I think some of that, some of that creaminess and like, I'm going to say lack of what we know as goatiness, tang. The smoke is covering the tang up a little bit, but they use primarily a Majorio is the name of the goat that they get the milk from local farmers. I mean, it's really high in fat and protein, so it gives the milk a little creamier, kind of an elasticness. Not all goat's milk, not all cow's milk is the same. So there's different reasons why you'd want the different animals. They might just do better in your climate. They might do better. I think we've talked in the past about goats needing, you know, if you're in hills, you need goats that can walk on hills and walk in the rocks.
I feel like I read Heidi, so yes. I understand.
Excellent.
You got to get the goats to the special pastures at the very top of the mountain in order for them to have the good milk.
The good milk. And I would totally agree. And that kind of leads us to one of the things we could talk about. It's not why this is in here, but we have our Tintern cheddar.
With that green rind, which is crazy.
So this is really great. We, as some of you who have been doing Curd Box with us for a long time know, we don't really do a ton of flavored cheeses. But we really love this one. It's got chives and shallots in it. They're in there. You see them. It's made fresh. It's made in a Welsh style cheddar by Summerdale Cheese, made in Wales. And the reason I was tying this into your previous discussion is you can definitely taste the chives and the shallots in here, but sometimes we have cheeses, like you said, when the cows have milked while they've been up in the mountains, and they are eating chives and stuff, and so you can get that flavor, not as strong as this, but you can definitely sense that flavor in there. So when you can't, then you can have this kind of cheese, which is very delicious. It melts well. It's a crumbly cheese.
It tastes like to me is like when you have that really delicious chive cream cheese on your bagel, except that this is not, instead of, it has a different texture, but I swear to you, it has that same like rich mouthfeel and the same flavoring as that. So this is my chive cream cheese.
It's perfect. Yeah. That's an excellent way to describe it. And so we've got these cheeses, we've got something salty and sweet, we've got something creamy and milky, and then we've got something sort of tangy and oniony. And we're not going to stop with the umami because we're going to go into the pairings now. And we're going to go to my husband's favorite cracker. So Matt, who I dissed at the beginning of this podcast, who is also the co-owner of this company, these crackers, the six seed top seeds, are his favorite cracker. And I was talking with the owner, and they are gluten free. They're all nuts, and they're bound together.
Wait, isn't this a nut-free box?
It's a nut-free box. They're all seeds. Sorry. All seeds. Ooh,
explain
not
the
nuts.
Difference to me between nuts and seeds, because I don't know.
Seeds would come from a flower, and a nut is a different plant.
Nut is like a nut is a big seed, but I guess it's
well,
not.
Think of a sunflower seed versus a walnut or a peanut. Well, peanuts are ground nuts that you grow in the ground. But So let me clarify, because all of you who have nut allergies are freaking out. Nut-free, gluten-free cracker, but has that nuttiness. It feels like you're eating nuts. It feels like you are having a cracker gluten. She's like, that was just a happy accident. It was to yeah. make this cracker, and they just happen to be nut-free.
These crackers
and
are
gluten-free.
Amazing. I could eat them all day long.
At first I was always upset because there's always like some like crummy ones in the bottom, like they broke up too much to be a cracker, and then I realized I can put those on my salad. And I was like, I'm gonna shake the box a little bit so I can have extra crumbs. But it is,
you know, sometimes like nutty. On my overnight oats I'll put sprinkle some nuts on top of them, but this would actually be, you could take those little crummy ones and put them, you know, overnight oats are pretty much just like yogurt and milk and oatmeal, and like that's a great way to add that nutty crunch and flavor without the nuts. I think you could do it on top of just regular yogurt. I think in soup sometimes, you know how it's nice to have like pepitas or something, and this is like an advanced form of it. So I think there's always a reason to have these in your house.
Yes, these are. I love them. They have them in a bunch of different flavors. This is my favorite. It has to be because it's Matt's favorite, and that's all, you know. I should really pick another favorite though, because he just eats through them. I have to hide them and just like puts them out on a plate, and he'll be like, where are they? I'm like, oh, I don't know. We must have finished them. Just eat
them.
Well,
they're
on the
so
plate.
Thin. I mean, they're even like transparent if you hold them up. Like, so you think you're eating nothing.
Glass. I know. So good. All the different kinds, six seeds, all the different seeds. And sometimes I can just, you know, taste the toasted sesame seeds, and sometimes it's the sunflower seeds. And
but you know, I've never really eaten these paired with like a cheese. I've never thought of them as an actual cracker. I've always thought of them more like a chip versus for snacking. So I'm super excited for us to get to the pairings.
Excellent. Well, then let's keep going. So next on our list is Kikos. Kikos are little corn. Another favorite of mine. It's everything I can do to not put these in every box.
Crunch, and I know crunch. You told me this before, but Kikos aren't corn nuts.
They are. They're all the same. I mean, it's a different brand. But they're, and everybody kind of makes them differently. So these are a Spanish, you know, and I think corn nuts, I believe, I'd have to look it up. It's not in this box, so I haven't done the research on that. Is a U.S. product versus a, this is like a traditional Spanish snack. But it's got just enough crunch. It doesn't break your teeth. I love the saltiness of it. It's not a nut, so we can have it in this box. And that's one of the things when we were curating these boxes, you know, we have right now just six different boxes that I repeat every 6 months. It's because there's sort of limited things that we can bring in that fall into all three of those categories. And we always want to kind of think about, they don't always have to have a cracker, but if one cracker is needed, we like to do it. In this case, we wanted to do it because we wanted to give some crunch to this, but also we use the corn, the Kikos, the corn nuts, the not corn nuts, corn nuts, as a good texture. When you're thinking about a cheese board, even if somebody can't have nuts, you want to think about what's the nibble on the plate, what's the crunch on the plate, what's the creaminess or the tanginess on the plate, and that will help you feel like you're not settling. I think a lot of times I have a lot of people in my family with all sorts of different versions of these allergies, and It does feel like they always have to like go, wait, 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 before you make the plate, let me make a plate so I'm safe, or let me do, you know, it just feels like they always have to jump in and manage that. And so that's one of the reasons why we love this, is those people in my life can have this box and just eat it safely and enjoy it and not feel like everybody else can have some of their box. It's not like they're trying to pick and choose what they can have off somebody else's box. So this box comes from much love for those people in my family and the friends that I have. But we have one more thing to tell you so we can get into trying those pairings, and that is our relish. So this is a sweet red pepper relish, and it comes to us from New Jersey, and it's made by Fourth Creek. This is actually, this is a relish that even Martha Stewart loves. And there's the acclaimed Martha Stewart burger at Fred's at Barney's restaurants that feature this relish. And I like it. I'm having my little tiny spoonful.
Sweet.
It's really sweet and still super savory. And I kind of, you know, I love a red pepper jelly. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a grown-up, classier version of that. Mm-hmm. We've got a bunch of different cheeses here, but if you can imagine, like, I love to do a red pepper jelly served with, like, a chevlog, and I'd slice the chevlog into little things. But we have a goat's milk cheese here with some smoke, and I think that's going to be amazing. I mean, I actually know all these because we tried them all, but, like...
because of the sweetness in here.
Like I've never, I'm surprised by the right?
But because of the sweetness in here, I'm really excited to try it with the Gouda because I think that's going to be a mix. And I will say, like, I think it's interesting because when you say like red pepper jelly, I immediately go to like a jelly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. This feels more like a red pepper side dish or a red pepper condiment or a red pepper salsa if salsa were sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a relish. But I think of it in terms of taking the place of like how I would red pepper jelly. So there's there's a ton of people out there, especially in the Midwest, who like to throw red pepper jelly on cheese. Sometimes the big block of cream cheese, whatever. But I think this is sort of the elevated version of what that is. Like it's kind of easy to love a jelly. It's sweet. The sweetness. This is sweet too. But so we should definitely dive in. While you're diving in and trying stuff, I'll tell you that the founder of Fourth Creek, Andy Schiavetti, his mom always made this sweet relish pepper, and it basically became a cult following, and it ended up on the menu. So for all of these who have a mom, who have a good recipe, start a business, bottle it, let me know about it, and we'll put it in curd box. And if it doesn't have nuts, gluten, or meat in it, then I can also put it in the flex box. But so what'd you try first?
So I mixed the Gouda with the red pepper relish, which was supremely delicious and amazing. And I just want to say one of the things about this relish, because you get a big jar of it, is I feel like it would be fantastic for cooking with of all kinds, because instead of having the thing that jelly does where it just kind of disappears, like you'd still have these pieces of red pepper left if you mixed it in with pasta, if you threw it on a chicken breast, do you know what I mean, in the oven so that it got nice and like get that caramelization from the sugar in it. Like I think there are a lot of ways to use this. Okay, I'm next going for the, what was the, I can't even remember now. What was the green one called? Tintern. And I'm going to try it with a Kiko, and I'm going to put some of the relish on that too. I'm going for a triple decker.
I just had the relish with the smoking goat, and it was really good.
This is definitely, you know, one of those boxes that feels like you just want to sort of like shove things in your mouth, like all together, because everything kind of melds.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Wow. The when you have that cracker with it, it just really adds sort of a third note that, so we can go into like long philosophical chats about what kind of cracker to use. And mostly you want to go with something neutral unless you want it to bring a flavor to the bite. And this one definitely brings a flavor to the bite. It's like the equivalent of sprinkling nuts on top of your sundae, except it's underneath, and it just adds that extra flavor.
You know, there was a cookbook I loved I'm trying to remember desperately the name of it, but in my 20s, it was very helpful to me. It was like the 1-2-3 cookbook or something. And basically, it featured like three ingredients. Every recipe could be made with just three ingredients plus salt and pepper. And it made it really easy when you're 20 years old trying to like make a meal for a bunch of people or something, or just cook a meal for yourself. But it strikes me that like one of the things that's nice about these crackers that are more complex or the relish or anything like that is that it allows you to use fewer ingredients for more flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And in this case, nice thing is that they're really high quality ingredients too. You know, people talk about cheese being expensive, good quality artisan cheese being expensive. But the thing is I don't need a half a pound of this. You know, I could like randomly eat through sliced cheap cheddar at a party because I'm hungry. I'm going to eat it, but I won't remember eating it. I didn't stop and go, oh my gosh, to anybody, did you try this cheese? Mm-hmm. Like none of that happened. It was a commodity. I put it in my mouth and it was fine. It was just fine. This, I don't want to eat a lot because I spend so much time eating it. I eat it slowly because I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I'm fuller, faster, and I totally remember everything.
When you make a cheese plate for yourself, what I found from doing curd boss as opposed to just like walking up to a cheese plate at a party, but when you make a cheese plate for yourself, I usually put out somewhere between like 1/2 ounce to 1 ounce of cheese, which is more than enough for three cheeses. Yep. Like 1/2 an ounce is sort of a better size even than like with the 1 ounce, I sometimes feel like, oh, that's a lot. So it's really not that much cheese.
Yes. So I made this one extra big today because I thought it's not quite dinner time and I'm going to hand the rest of the plate to Matt. And I wanted enough that he could have some too. And he could eat whatever. Like he could eat 6 ounces of cheese. So I didn't put that much on there. But yeah, this is, I do the same thing, especially for the podcast. And I'm always like, oh, I'm so full after this podcast. I know we say this is dinner for two or snacks for 6 to 8, but like I got to be hungry to do this for two.
I think it's a lot more cheese than that because like when I cut off my like, you know, 1/2 ounce to 1 ounce, like there's tons of cheese left. Tons.
Yeah. Very true. So what do you think of this box?
I mean, this box, my mouth is full. I'm going to eat it. I'm having a good time. This to me feels like almost as if you wanted to get somebody hooked on cheese or hooked on curd box, you'd be like, I have a gift for you, or I'm going to show you something, because they get a real range of flavors, but there's nothing that's like not delicious or not delicious together or requires you to like think about it or has any of those kind of like trigger things that sometimes make people crazy. I think this is a beautiful box.
Yeah. So I would tell the people who are watching this, if you didn't get this box and you want it, you can see online what's in the box. And plus I just told everybody, but you can also, if you like this box, but you want to try something new, you know, when you go to your cheese counter, hopefully you have at least a grocery store where you have a cheese counter where somebody there can help you. You can tell them you want to try another aged Gouda. You know, for fun, you could do something where you just try three different aged Goudas all at once and you can kind of see what you like more about them. They come in, you know, up to like 3 years old. You can try other smoked cheeses or other goat cheeses or other smoked goats, or you can try drunken goat, which is different than smoking goat.
they're all the bad Billy goats.
Yeah. And the Tin Turn. So there's a bunch of different cheeses by Summerdale. So if you like the sort of base of this Welsh style cheddar, you can try any one of their other ones. Double check, make sure there's no gluten in them. They've got a Red Dragon that is delicious. If gluten isn't an issue for you, we wanted it in this box, but because it's an ale based cheese, it has ale in it. We couldn't include this because that would have gluten in it. But if you don't, it's a fantastic, it's the same base cheddar, but with mustard seeds in it. And it tastes great on a salami sandwich. Again, but this is a meat free, so don't have it with a salami sandwich. It depends what you're giving up or what you can't have, but hopefully everybody loves this and gives you an idea of what to try. Top seeds come in a bunch of different flavors. What else could you substitute? Could you do love corn, corn nuts, these Kikos, what's your crunchy thing that you could put on? And, you know, think of red pepper relish. You can go into Definitely you can buy more of these, but try other relishes. Something like a piccalilli relish is similar, but different enough for you to try. So I encourage everybody to go out and stop eating boring, try something new. Cheese can be dinner. It totally can. And until next time, let's see. So let me give you some Instagram handles here. So both the Smoking Goat and the Kikos come from our friends at Forever Cheese. And the Tintern, our oniony cheese, is from at Summerdale Cheese. Then at Top Seeds with a Z at the end is where we can get our delicious crackers, six seed crackers, and follow them. Great stuff that they're making. And at Fourth Creek Food is where you can find the red pepper relish. They have other kinds of relishes and foods there. Totally fantastic company. You can get more from Julie at What Julie Ate. And you can follow us at Curdbox. You can eat along with us next month if you get a box at curdbox.com. And thank you, everybody, for coming along with us for this delicious podcast. Once again, Julie, thank you so much. I will see you for the next one. Bye, everybody.